Hey, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm the host of a new football podcast called Slow News Day. I want to tell you about it. On Mondays, Lindsey Jones and I will recap the weekend in football that was, as well as look ahead to what's next. On Wednesday, the normal Slow News Day, the thing you've been watching for years, current players, current coaches, current analysts talking about the football world. And on Friday, a wild card. Could be some college football, could be more pro stuff. It's a video podcast, so you can watch it on Spotify or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. It's Slow News.
It's the Ringers Philly special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome back to the Philly Special Podcast. It's right after the trade deadline. It's a really exciting period. I mean, we come off a 106-99 loss to the Boston Celtics, who have been a thorn in our side for quite some time, but we're right after the trade deadline. And, you know, this week, Chris Ryan is out for this episode, but we got a special guest. We got the legendary Michael Pina in the building. How you doing today?
I'm great, man. I'm exhausted from this trade deadline. A lot happened, but couldn't be in a better place than talking to you, my man.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. So you got this Philadelphia 76ers team right now. They're 34-19, third in the East behind the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. You got the Brooklyn Nets out of the way with Kevin Durant being traded. What do you see as the ceiling for this team? I mean, like, they come off that 106-99 loss against the Celtics, but does this feel like a team that could win a championship or win the East to you?
It's only one game. I wouldn't have a ton of confidence if I was a Sixers fan watching that Celtics performance, though. And again, like, it's only one game, whatever. But losing as, I guess just like not ever really being in control of a game when Jason Tatum finishes with 12 points, Jaylen Brown goes out with a facial fracture, doesn't play the second half, Marcus Smart doesn't play, Rob Williams and Al Horford are out. And I mean, I'm not going to say like Grant Williams like shut down Joel Embiid, because that's not what happened. But the Celtics just, I mean, their team individual help defense on him was just spectacular the whole night, without their two best defenders, arguably. And, you know, I thought Harden played really well. I think Harden is just this, you know, he probably should have been an all-star this season. He may still, with Jalen potentially not playing, with Kyrie going to the, I don't even know how the all-star rules are going to work, but Harden should be an all-star. He's played really tremendous basketball this season, but he remains this variable going into the playoffs. Embiid's obviously never gotten out of the second round. He's talked a lot about how this is his best, the best team that he's ever played on. And I don't know. I'm watching last night and Tobias Harris is just once again a total no-show in a relatively big game. He's pump faking corner threes with no one within 10 feet of him. I'm just like, I just wouldn't have a lot of confidence in the supplementary pieces, to be honest with you. And coming out of this trade deadline where the one move they made was a cost cut, like Jalen McDaniels might not be in Doc Rivers' rotation. That's a playoff rotation. That's definitely possible. I expected them to be a little more aggressive trying to get a backup big for Joel Embiid, which is a role they haven't been able to fill basically since Joel Embiid's been on the team. So, you know, anything can happen. They're very talented. Embiid is an MVP candidate. Absolutely. He's unstoppable in a lot of ways. But I would still put them behind the Celtics, definitely, and the Bucks too. The Bucks look great.
So I have to ask you about that Jaden McDaniels move. You know, a lot of people on Twitter liked it. I mean, you have a 6'9 wing. I mean, this guy's averaging 11.3 points per game. He's at, you know, 37% from three. He seems like a rotational piece that the Sixers could use. I mean, obviously, Thybulle was one of the Sixers' best wing defenders. Can Jaden be that for the Sixers? I mean, when you look at last night, a big problem with the Sixers was their perimeter defense, and it continues to be an issue. I mean, we saw games earlier this season where you had Zach LaVine putting up 41 points. You had CJ McCollum putting up 41 points. You saw the three-point defense really struggled last night. I mean, a lot of that was, you know, basically strategy in terms of doubling on Tatum and, you know, leaving guys wide open. I mean, you saw Blake Griffin 5-for-8 from three. Do you think Jaden McDaniel can be that piece to, you know, help this perimeter defense? Because you see, it's really, it's tough to field a competent defense when you're playing both Maxey and Harden at the same time. So can he be that for us? What is your opinion on that deal? Like, what can he bring to the table for people who don't watch Hornets games?
So everyone listening, basically. Jalen's brother, Jaden, is the better McDaniels player who's in the NBA right now. So getting Jalen, who, you know, not a great outside three-point shooter, is not going to be defended, cannot space the floor. To me, it's basically Matisse Thybulle. Like, you're kind of just replacing that same type of player. Someone who does not compliment Embiid, someone who will not space the floor, has very little gravity, is not going to create their own shot in a playoff game, is not going to be running pick and rolls as a secondary ball handler, is not going to be a shutdown defender, has never played a meaningful game of NBA basketball in his life. Like, I just don't know if the expectation should be, oh, this guy's going to be in the playoff rotation. I just don't see it. And he's also on an expiring contract. So I don't know. I wouldn't have my hopes up, to be honest. I don't think he's a difference maker. I don't think he's a needle mover. And I guess if you are going to lose Matisse, which they did, and they gave up on him, understandably, I suppose, given his fit issues with Embiid, like, I would have thought that they would be a little bit more aggressive in getting a veteran piece. But they got Jalen McDaniels, and I don't know. I can't get too excited about it.
You know, I was telling Bill this, and we spoke last night. I knew that we were going to trade Thybulle. And, you know, as much as I like Thybulle, I felt like it was a move that had to be made just because Glenn doesn't play his young players. And if you're not going to play your young players and develop these guys so that they can be ready for the postseason, then you got to get somebody in there who can fill the rotation. So for me, you know, I was telling Chris, I was telling Bill, one of the pieces that I wanted to see them bring in was Josh Hart. I felt like Josh Hart, he can, you know, provide some perimeter defense. I mean, his shooting is down this year. This year, he's only a 30% three-point shooter. But I feel like, you know, playing next to Hart and playing against next to Embiid, his shooting would improve. He would still bring that defensive, you know, mindset to the table. So, you know, when I saw that he got traded right before the Golden State game, I was a little disappointed. And then a couple hours later, I see that we're trading Thybulle to the Blazers. So I was, like, really frustrated with that. I think that's the one move that, you know, it really disappointed me.
Hart is awesome. And that's more of the veteran type of piece, someone who's played in games that matter, who's an NBA vet, who kind of gets it. You're right to say that he's not the greatest three-point shooter. He's not really a willing three-point shooter. He can knock down open ones from the corner, absolutely. He knows how to guard up a position, down a position, will push it in transition. Just has a much bigger pedigree in the NBA than Jalen McDaniels. There's no doubt about that. He's a better player, and the Knicks got him, and they should feel great. If I don't know if you saw Jalen Brunson's reaction, he was pumped to get his college teammate.
He was like celebrating like they got Kevin Durant. And it's just like, I know that's your old college teammate, but come on, man.
Yeah, that's his buddy. I get it. But no, I think Hart would have been a much better rotational piece to add. Someone who you can close games with when you go small. I already mentioned how I'm not the biggest Tobias Harris fan, and there's going to be situations in the playoffs where you want another option. You want to go somewhere else. You know, PJ Tucker could, you know, sprain his ankle any day, or in the playoffs just have like a busted heel. He could get some weird injury and be out a couple weeks. Like having Hart in there would be nice in the rotation, a player like that. Little too expensive, I think, in trying to make the money work and the contracts. I think he's making like $13 million somewhere around there, so I'm not sure how they would make that work, that type of acquisition. But you're right to say that that's the type of player that they should have been after, absolutely.
So, I mean, you're disappointed with, you know, the Sixers trade deadline pickups. Is there anybody on the buyout market who you could foresee being available that, you know, maybe the Sixers should just be looking into? I mean, obviously, they do need a backup big. It's very disappointing that, you know, they're continuing to play Harrell. I'm not really a big Harrell guy, so I don't know if you are, but I think the backup big position is a position that, you know, the Sixers need to just be able to figure this thing out, because it's been a problem the entire Embiid era. And then, of course, Doc refuses to play Paul Reed. is there anybody, do you think, the Sixers should be targeting potentially in the buyout market? Who are there some guys that you think are going to become available?
Yeah, I mean, the Miami Heat traded Dwayne Dedmon to the San Antonio Spurs, and he was just bought out, I believe, or reportedly going to be bought out by the Spurs. I think that's the type of player that Daryl Morey should be looking at. That's someone who's a veteran, who was just on a team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. He kind of got played off the floor a little bit in the playoffs, but he also had some moments. And I do think that the Sixers will play PJ Tucker as a backup five in a lot of matchups in the postseason. That's why they got him. He's important for that type of role. But Dedmon would be solid. I think Dedmon is better than Montrezl Harrell. I'm not a Montrez guy either. I mean, we'll see how everything kind of shakes out with the buyout market. Russell Westbrook will be out there, I think. I don't know if that's definitely not someone who makes a lot of sense in Philadelphia. Patrick Beverley could be out there. These are guards that just kind of would not play at all in their rotation. So you can kind of disregard that. But I don't know. Like, I just think they do need reinforcements in the front court. Embiid's obviously going to play, you know, probably upwards of 40 minutes in games that matter. But as you've seen, as we've seen throughout this season, even when he goes to the bench, like, they just hemorrhage points. Like, you just need to tread water with some type of interior presence. Doesn't have to be a bucket getter. Doesn't have to be a 3-point shooter. Just someone who can stabilize things so that you aren't just hemorrhaging points in the paint. I think Dedmon could be a solution. Yeah, I think that's someone that they could maybe give a flyer on.
I could see that. I can definitely see that. Any wings do you think, you know, would become available? Or is just like, you know, just a backup big?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I can't really think of any wing. Like, anyone who's valuable, like, is on a team that's good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It feels like the Brooklyn Nets have basically traded for every cornered, single wing.
They got the market cornered. Like, it's gonna be real. I was shocked that I was shocked that the Nets did not move on from some of those wings. And there were a lot of teams out there that I'm sure would have been had them on speed dial trying to get them with draft pick compensation and that sort of thing. But that's just a different conversation for a different day. But yeah, I mean, getting wings off of kind of the scrap heap in a buyout situation is tough, because those are valuable players. Those are guys who are contributing and winning situations. The Sixers are a contender, and other contenders have those types of players. So, I mean, it kind of goes back to like having Isaiah Joe. You know what I mean? Like, Isaiah Joe is balling on the Thunder right now. I think that's the type of player who would be a wonderful fit in Philadelphia and could be one. Letting him go could be something that they regret ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's very frustrating for me because it just feels like every time I watch an Oklahoma City Thunder game, Isaiah Joe is just making every single three. But I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, Doc is not playing the younger guys on this team. I mean, he has a short rotation. He trusts his vets, and that's who he's going to go with. So,
this episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I don't want to overreact to last night's loss. I think I've said this time and time before, but this Sixers team is going to win with their offense. And when you look at what they did offensively last night, 10 for 31 from three, Joel Embiid, I mean, he had a solid first half, but the second half he didn't do what I felt like he's capable of doing, especially against a Celtics team that was missing Robert Williams and Al Horford. I just think, I mean, this is the team, if we're scoring points, we're going to be fine. But this is not a team that's just going to go out there and, like, because I think we've had such struggles in transition that when we're not scoring, it's just so much easier for the team, other teams to score. I think when you look at what the Sixers are doing in transition this year, they're 22nd in transition defense. So if we're not scoring efficiently, then it's just much easier for our team. Realistically, what do you say is the floor and the ceiling for the Sixers team this year? I know you said, you know, the Celtics and the Bucks are probably obviously the cream of the crop in our conference, but what do you think is the floor and what would you say is the ceiling?
I mean, the floor is a first round exit. You stumble a little bit, you go up against like the Cavs in round one, someone like that, the Heat in round one, and just like, you know, a physical team that can get explosive offense out of their backcourt with Cleveland. I would expect Philly to win a series like that, but I'm just talking like worst case scenario. You run into a Donovan Mitchell buzzsaw situation where he's just carving up Tyrese Maxey and James Harden, and no one can stop him. And, you know, Embiid sprains his ankle. I don't know. Like that's the worst case scenario, I would say. I honestly can't even me personally, I don't see them winning a title as currently constructed. It's possible. Anything's possible in the NBA. I didn't think that Kevin Durant was going to get traded last night at 1 a.m. or I would have stayed awake. But I just think like the Celtics are just such a terrible matchup for them. They're deeper. As we saw in that game, like if there's any night to beat the Celtics when you have Harden and you have Embiid, that was it. And the way they defended without fouling, like, I don't understand why, or I don't see in the playoffs why that would not be something that they could replicate through a 7-game series. And Tatum is just such a matchup nightmare. Jaylen Brown is a total matchup nightmare for the Sixers, especially with Thybulle now gone. I mean, they put Thybulle in that game to kind of slow Tatum down, and I thought he did a pretty good job. So you lose that presence. And, you know, I think I would give the edge to the Bucks too, in a series. Like, they just look tremendous right now, and they just got Jay Crowder. Didn't really give up anyone in their rotation to get him. They can play small. Like, Joe Ingles looks really good. They can play small with Ingles and Crowder. Giannis at the five, they can just bully you with Lopez and Portis and Giannis and just humongous lineups. And Chris Middleton is starting to come along and look really good, and Jrue Holiday is an all-star. So the Bucks are just, they're really good. The Bucks are really good.
Yeah. You know, I was like really concerned about the Bucks for like quite some time, just because it felt like, you know, things were kind of just falling apart. I was hearing some rumors between Giannis and Bud not liking each other. Middleton was hurt, but it feels like, you know, the last week and a half, they've really found something. One thing I will say is that I do think that is a matchup the Sixers can win. I don't think, you know, they're necessarily favorites, But I think that's closer to a pick'em series than people might realize. Now, I agree with you on the Celtics. I just don't think the Sixers have anything for the Celtics. But, I mean, you know, the NBA postseason is a war of attrition. I mean, you're seeing it right now with the Celtics. I mean, they're really banged up. Jaylen Brown's going to be out for a foreseeable future. You know, Al Horford, Robert Williams, those guys have been banged up. So I think I just want to see the Sixers finish this season strong. And if they can avoid the Celtics side of the bracket, I think they have a real shot at, you know, going to the NBA Finals. If they can just avoid the side of the bracket with the Celtics, I think that's if there's an opportunity for them to tank at some point down the stretch and avoid you know, that side of the bracket, I'm all for it. Just because I think we can we may not be favorites against the Bucks, but we're favored against any other team. And I think we have a shot at beating the Bucks. So. You have any closing thoughts? It's like it's truly a pleasure to have you on. I think we've pretty much broken down anything, everything. I mean, we've broken down the trade deadline. We broke down buyout candidates, the floor, the ceiling on the Sixers. Is there anything that you, any thoughts that you necessarily have on the Sixers, the trade deadline stuff, even stuff unrelated to the Sixers?
I mean, what's your, I'll just ask you a question. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, are you, 1 being I'm fine and 10 being super disappointed. Like, how are you feeling about the Sixers trade deadline? And did you expect more?
I'm going to say, you know, 1 to 10, I'm going to say a 5.
Okay.
I kind of expected the Sixers to kind of just, you know, try to cut and get under the luxury tax. There was a part of me that already kind of knew that we were going to trade Thybulle. I just kind of wish we did a little bit more. So it's just I'm saying 5 just because I kind of expected what we did. You know, a lot of people really like Jalen McDaniels, so I probably need to see a little bit more of him. So I'm gonna give them a 5, and I'm kind of gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. I know The Athletic actually gave the trade A-. Shouts to my guy, Haralabob Vulgaris. I mean, he's been one of the premier NBA bettors of, you know, to ever do it. He said he liked the trade. So a lot of times when he says, I mean, obviously he worked with the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban. He was kind of responsible for helping to get Luka in there. If he likes a trade, then I tend to believe him. So it remains to be seen. But I don't know. I do wish we could have got something more. I really do. It's like when you look at the fact that the Celtics, I think they traded for Muscala. You look at the fact that the Bucks, they traded for Jay Crowder. It felt like those two teams got better, and that's our competition.
That's fair. I mean, I even looking at like obviously the Denver Nuggets are in the Western Conference and they're irrelevant, but getting Thomas Bryant for like Reed and 3 seconds, like. That type of trade would have been a huge boon, in my opinion, for the Sixers. Even like Mason Plumlee for, I mean, I guess they gave up a pretty big salary to make that move with Reggie Jackson. But just a big on the market who's like an above average backup big. I think the Sixers kind of missed an opportunity there. But we'll see. Maybe Deadman's awesome. Maybe Deadman's a great fit. Maybe they get him in the door and he's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to see us, like, you know, try to get Holmes back. I think, you know, Chris might have mentioned that the other day. If we got Rashawn Holmes back, I mean.
That's a great call.
Yeah, like, it's just disappointing that we didn't do much. But I tend to trust Morey. I mean, I think he always has a plan for, you know, how he wants to do things. But, I mean, I think it's kind of a make or break year because, you know, Harden's a free agent.
He is. it's an interesting one. And the Houston Rockets, they didn't fill up any of their cap space. So it'll be interesting. A lot of the NBA is fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. You know, one thing I will say, you know, about Harden last night, I think he played a really good game. And it felt like he brought us back into the game down the stretch.
He did.
And then, you know, Embiid falls asleep on a lob, which leads to a layup that puts them up 5 when they were down 3. And then for the rest of the game, they went away from Harden. They went to Embiid. They went to isolation post-ups. And I think that's the type of stuff that kind of kills us. It's just like no feel for the game in terms of our coaching. Because to me, Harden, the way he was running the offense down the stretch was tremendous. And then he never saw another shot, really. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
What I will say about that is you know, the Harden-Embiid pick and roll is obviously really devastating against most teams. And I just thought it was interesting how the Celtics defended it, where they switched and they didn't panic when they like switched a Derek White onto Embiid. They just brought help from really interesting angles at really interesting times and executed well. And there was a lot of help behind. A couple times they got beat, absolutely. But I just thought their like team defense was just like on point without size. And so if you do that, you're in great shape.
Big shouts to Michael Pena. Tell everybody what you're working on right now at the Ringer so they can check out your work.
Well, I just wrote a humongous winners and losers piece for the trade deadline that honestly, my brain is like just scrambled eggs right now. Just been sitting in front of a laptop all day, checking my phone all day, talking to people all day. Crazy, just a crazy day in the NBA. Really fun one, but I feel like it was kind of landscape altering with Kevin Durant, obviously, last night going to Phoenix. And I don't know. It's just, I have no idea what's going to happen in the postseason. It's just a really awesome time in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm honestly hoping that we see a Mavericks-Suns series. I would love to see that. What'd you think about that trade, though? I mean, for both sides, the Nets and the Suns.
I think the Suns, obviously, you know, you get Kevin Durant and you get him under contract for the next three, four years. So that's fantastic. Devin Booker, I feel like he's like the most underrated superstar in the league. Both those guys are just mid-range assassins. Chris Paul, I think, also is getting overlooked a little bit this year. He's still got something in the tank, and he's not going to be asked to score in the fourth quarters of games throughout basically the rest of his career. So I think that is a huge boon to him. I also honestly like what the Nets did. They got so much draft equity in this transaction. They also got, like, to get Mikal and Cam Johnson, those are awesome wings, like awesome two-way wings that everyone in the league wants. So, yeah, I mean, the Nets obviously are starting a new era, and they will not be competing for championships for the foreseeable future. We'll see where they trade Ben Simmons, when they trade Ben Simmons. That's something to keep an eye on, I guess, if he's ever a relevant player again, we'll see. But yeah, I guess I like it for both sides, honestly, which is kind of crazy because any team that trades KD should not be feeling good, but they should feel, I guess, okay, relatively speaking.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, I was a little disappointed that the Nets, I feel like they kind of blew it up a little bit early. I mean, I kind of have a minority opinion. I think they should have just paid Kyrie and just rolled out the KD Kyrie era, but I can understand being sick of those two. Our producer, Cliff, he actually has a question. What's up, Cliff?
Yo, so Mike, I was actually going to ask you about the Harden thing, right? Because I think the Harden and Embiid thing kind of tie in together. I'm thinking, well, Harden's a free agent, so if the Sixers get bounced either first or second round, you know, fairly earlier than expected, don't make the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, does that make Embiid want to bounce too after that? Because what do you get back in return in the free agency market? Like, I don't know what the free agency market looks like. I don't know, you know, who would want to be traded to play with Embiid. I'm sure a lot of players would like to trade with Embiid or would like to be traded to play with Embiid. But I'm not like, what's the future of that? If Harden bounces, does Embiid want to bounce after that? Or do the Sixers try to still retool with Embiid there?
Yeah, if Harden bounces, I mean, you're looking at a catastrophe. Absolutely. and it's, I don't know if it's probable that Embiid will want to leave. Seems to love Philadelphia, team that drafted him, homegrown hero, a lot of pride there. But I don't know what their path, if they go out in the first or second round and Harden bounces, I don't know what their path is to win a championship through the rest of his contract. So if I was him, I would be disgruntled, to put it nicely. I think at this stage in his career, that's what he should want. He should really want to win at the highest level. That's really all he has left to accomplish. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if he asked for a trade. Absolutely.
Oh man,
got you. Thanks, Mike. That's tough to hear. But
I wasn't even
man.
Trying to think about the like that far down the road. But I mean, I think when you start looking at Harden's free agency and like this thing could fall apart quicker than ever. I mean, we just saw the Nets go from the second seed in the East to blowing it up in a matter of 3 weeks. So this truly is a make or break year for the Sixers.
The Nets won 18 of 20. Like, everything is so, like, fickle and fleeting in the NBA. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, that concludes the Philly special. I mean, I know we got Ben and Shield. They're going to be breaking down the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. Hopefully they pull it off. For you guys' sake, you guys know I'm a Cowboys fan. But, yeah, we're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you, Mike, for coming on. Shouts to my producer, Cliff. Next week, we'll be back. Chris Ryan will be back from, I think he's overseas right now. So y'all know what it is. Philly Special Podcast, Raheem Palmer, Michael Pena, Clifford. Y'all know how it's going down.